the sound of silence echoing halls, the pictures of broken dreams strung across the wall, the ticking of the clock, moonlight on the floor. Oh, forsaken, fear there's always more. You're not alone. When the world has left you shattered, you're not alone. When your life seems not to matter, in the darkness of the night, seek the Lord of light. You're not alone. You're not alone. You're not alone. When thy shadows rage around you, you're not alone. When no one stands beside you in the struggle of your fight, seek to claim his glorious might. You're not alone. You're not alone. You're not a effortless cries for love once known. So many lonesome years stepping on your own, strengthened by day, weakness at night, tears of seclusion, struggles hid from sight. You're not alone. When the world has left you shattered, you're not alone. When your life seems more to matter in the darkness of your night, seek the Lord of light. You're not alone. You're not alone. You're not alone. When thy shadows rage around you, you're not alone. When no one stands beside you in the struggle, you're not alone. You're not alone. You're not
alone.
Tremendous promise from God, from his word. Amen. We want to say thank you. I'm Brother Jim. My wife Yvonne is with me. Yvonne, would you stand? And we have our display in the back, and there's prayer letters there, recent prayer letters, and also the unshackled story on the back of a CD, Jim Rumsey preaching CD, but those Unshackled stories I would like to make available to anyone that doesn't have a family member that's not churched and doesn't have an understanding of the gospel. Because there's a very clear presentation there in that CD. It's something that someone that doesn't come to church might listen to. So they're there, and then don't worry about that little sign there about the $10 suggested love offering, because if that's more than you think that you could pay, well, I'll make sure you get it. I'll just want you to make sure that that loved one, that special loved one, can have that to introduce him to the gospel. And we want to say thank you so much, Sumter Bible Church, for your prayers, for your help that you've been to us in this ministry. You've been significant. Our visits that you allow us to come, and God has used you also in special ways. I can't even mention all of them to keep us going in this ministry. And so we want to say thank you so much for your partnership in this ministry to our nation's prisons. I'd like to say this, living by faith is exciting. Amen. Missionaries live by faith, and we're like any missionaries. We live hand to mouth. But it's God's hand to my mouth, and I thank the Lord his hand is never slack, never slack. And prison ministry is exciting as well. Prison ministry is exciting because we get to see the hand of God at work in those services, in the prison, actual prison services. And I could tell stories about how rowdy crowds have just settled down just because God was there and moved in into a crowd. And so, hey, I like to say when we can witness that, It's kind of like a special occasion. In prison ministry, we see oftentimes of when God shows up in these meetings, we see lives becoming convicted by the Holy Spirit. We see professions of faith in Christ Jesus, 192 thus far this year, and that's exciting. We give God the glory because he does all of the saving. And it's a special, special thing when we can actually have occasion to meet someone that we've seen and actually come to know in prison. I'm talking about someone that is actually assigned to a prison, and we're there in ministry, and then we get acquainted through that ministry, and then they come out. When their sentence is completed, they come out, and actually we don't get to have a relationship with them, but if we meet them at a church, amen, that's how where we can actually see how God is working in lives like this. I told you about Tommy in Lake Butler, Florida last year, and we saw him again this past April, so it's been another year for him. Three years now out of Cross City Correctional Institution, and he is now... he is now able to go into the Union County Jail there in Florida and do his testimony and some preaching himself with the regular volunteers at that county jail ministry. I'm excited for him. So pray for Tommy. Continue, please. And then Michael, we met at Middleburg last September after we saw you guys last year. But Michael is also in his mid-40s, Middleburg, Florida, of course, a suburb of the Jacksonville area. But Michael had been at a prison in Florida himself for nearly 10 years, and he got out in 2010, and has been 5 years now faithful to his church there in Middleburg. And he has given me an illustration for prison preaching. It really is, I think, the best example of how an inmate can actually beat probation. You know, saying beat probation, I'm talking about he can complete it, fulfill it, and be done with it without getting caught or arrested. And this Michael is attending faithfully at a Baptist church there in Middleburg, and he's working himself as a handyman for the Methodist church there in Middleburg. And so he's around church people all the time. between at work and when he goes to church. And there is a lot less impulse temptation in a person's life when he's around people that are not actually going to lead him astray. So there, hats off to Michael in Middleburg. He's going on 6 years now. Successfully after his incarceration. And then another Michael Z in Melbourne, Florida. And Michael has had, from Melbourne, has just 2 years, finished his 2 years of work release, where he had been allowed to be in his family relationship, but go into the prisons on the weekends. A work release relationship is something very significant for an inmate to be able to do and complete. He's done with that, and has had over a year now where he's been with his wife and his daughter at their church at Melbourne very faithfully. So I'm always excited to see how the hand of God moves in the lives of individual inmates that we had opportunity to minister to in our prison schedules. And I'm thanking you for your prayers in that regard. And also, please, when you do pray, pray for our chaplains, our head chaplains in these facilities, the three we are in South Carolina as well. There are 17 head chaplains that we actually have dealings with, scheduling through. And we're asking that the Lord would allow religious liberty in the chapel services. And you know a situation with our day and time. In America, and I'm not going to preach about that tonight, but I just want you to realize the Bible does say, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. And I don't really know what woe is coming for this nation, but I do know this, that this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. I plan to stand with God. An abomination is sin, and personally, I will not call an abomination good. But God is good. And we get the opportunity still to go to the prisons and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're still seeing souls saved and lives changed. And we want to just say it is a blessing to see God's hand at work in these prisons. And we're thankful so much for your participation, your help, your prayers. Amen. In the ministry, the Rumsey's ministry. And I'd like to... Tonight, if you'd look in your Bibles at Matthew chapter 22, Matthew chapter 22, I'd like to bring a message tonight on the king's wedding garment from verse 1, Matthew chapter 22 and verse 1. And while you're finding your place there in Matthew chapter 22, I'm going to read a verse from Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse 7 says, hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord has prepared a sacrifice, he hath bid his guests. Now that's RSVP. And he, that day is at hand. Amen. And we're seeing this parable, please, in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 1. And verses following. Scripture says, and Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for a son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm and another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. I'm going to ask the Lord to add his blessing to the reading of God's word tonight. Father in heaven, in Jesus' name, we do thank you, dear God, for the privilege of ministry and our nation's prisons. Thank you for the doors that are open. And Lord, that we have the opportunity to proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in these places. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would, Lord God, just continue, Lord, till you come. Lord Jesus, open door for our prison ministries. We thank you, Lord God, for the participation and help of dear churches like this at Sumter Bible Church that would have a part in their prayers and their faithfulness to help. I pray that you would, Lord, bless and continue to bless the ministry outreach at Sumter Bible Church, the school, and all that the umbrella of the church. We praise you, dear God, for a church with a heart for the souls of people. And ask in the name of Jesus, dear Lord, that you would just bless us as a people and help us, Lord God, as we are looking at this parable tonight. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be fixed and settled about the future that we have with thee and the excitement that'll surely be in for us. And we ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you would provide, that you would protect, that you would, Lord Jesus, address all the needs on the prayer list at Sumter Bible Church, and God, that you would, Lord Jesus, just take care of each one in according to your will. And we'll give you the praise and we'll give you the glory, for I know it's you that are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to preach a little while tonight, Lord willing, on the king's wedding garment. The king's wedding garment. And I'd like for you to see, please, a couple of things concerning the passage of Scripture we see in Matthew chapter 22 and verses 1 through 14. And first, of course, we know that it's a parable. And a parable is only a short story with a moral. I mean, this is allegoric, it's symbolic, and it's showing the similarities of the kingdom of heaven with a certain king's son's wedding. And folks, you can see. You can easily see Jesus. You can easily see the Father here in the caricatures of this parable. And I want to just say this, in the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, if you will, that had been offered to Israel. It had been offered to Israel. But their lack of faith in Jesus as Messiah had denied their collective inheritance of that kingdom, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Now, I'd like to take you to Matthew chapter 8 just to see. What the Lord said concerning this. Because we see in Matthew chapter 8, from verses 5 through 13, this centurion, this Roman centurion that had the grievously ill servant, and how Jesus had offered to come to his house and to heal his servant. And the centurion said, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word, and my servant shall be healed. Folks, this man, the centurion, was not a child of the kingdom by birth. He was a Gentile. Let's look and see verse 10 here in Matthew 8, if you've turned there and read. The scripture says, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and a gnashing of teeth. The analysis of verse 12 there, the children of the kingdom in verse 12 shown are God's chosen people, the nation of Israel. And it is that lack of faith that denies him, denies Christ, that the offer doesn't stand collectively anymore for them. And praise God, I say praise God, because individuals that believe, only individuals that believe are part of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven now. And look, if you will, at verse 11. It says this, I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. There they are, the patriarchs, the kingdom of God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But many shall come from the east and from the west. Woo, hallelujah. This is where I get in on it. See, I wasn't born a Jew. I wasn't born in Israel. But I, hallelujah, believe Jesus is Lord and Savior. And many shall come likewise, believing in him, believing in Christ Jesus, that'll be there in the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. So it's a place. We're seeing here a description in Matthew chapter 22 of this wedding parable. And I'd like to just a little bit address a couple of things before I preach. But I'd like to say there's a couple of things to see and a couple of things to know about our parable tonight. And the things to see first is that those that originally were bidden would not come. Those that had been originally bidden, and even the remnant of them slew the king's servants, and he retaliated, the Bible says, and burned their city. Now, we're not going into a history lesson right here, but AD 70, General Titus, Roman general conqueror, and leveled Jerusalem and the wall thereof, except for the one wall left, was standing. I'm just saying, when God says something's going to happen in the Bible, and realize, amen, that it will surely happen. They had rejected Jesus as Messiah. They had rejected the prophets of old, and then their city did indeed burn. But following in this parable, we see that he commands his servants to go out a second time, go out to the highways, and furnish his wedding with guests. And there's the man without the wedding garment. And some things to know. All the guests, they came from the highways. That's not the palaces. That's not the fine houses. They came from the highways. They would not be clothed with fine garments of their own. They don't have nice garments out on the highways. And the wedding garment, I'm going to make this case, but the wedding garment the king sought to see was provided by he himself. And he say, well, Brother Jim, does it say that somewhere? I'm going to make that case from the scriptures because it's obvious. It's obvious that the king had offered wedding garments to all that are there. He obviously rejected or had not accepted the wedding garment that had been given him or provided for him. And there's a matter here about the custom of giving garments by royalty to special people on special occasions. And we won't go through the whole illustrations, but in the case of where Naaman, the Syrian captain, And he went to Elisha to be healed of this leprosy, this grave disease, in his entourage. And they went and made the journey. And bearing garments, plus gold and silver, they had treasures to offer the prophet as a reward or to induce him to. So there was an example of royalty providing garments for special people on special occasions. And then another were Joseph. And you remember Joseph, and that's a rags to riches story for you. How he was sold into slavery and then is falsely accused and into Potiphar's house and then from there to the prison. And to the prison when he interpreted the dreams of the butler and the baker, and how Joseph actually did interpret those dreams. And then Pharaoh found out when he had a dream from God, a dream about the seven kine and the 7 ears of corn. And Pharaoh was troubled by and got the interpretation from Joseph, brought him out of prison, got the interpretation. And now Joseph, as a reward, is now the vice regent or second in command in all of Egypt. And a famine did hit, hard famine, the whole area. And when Jacob, Joseph's daddy from Israel, had sent down his sons to get some food to bring it back home, Joseph was there. And Joseph entreated them roughly and demanded when they came back, when they would, to bring Benjamin. And in Genesis, in about chapter number 45 there, after they bring Benjamin back that second time, Joseph reveals himself to his brothers. And he said, well, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And likewise, he offered and gave garments, nice garments, to all the brethren. This is royalty once more, the Egyptian second in command under Pharaoh, and special people on special occasions. So these people are not, when they find out about the wedding and a person being cast out for not having his garment, they wouldn't be surprised about that. And I've got some support, some scripture here that would also back that up. Romans chapter 13 and verse 14 says, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you put him on? Like a shirt, like a pair of pants, like a coat? When you receive him as your Savior, put him on. Amen. And then Isaiah 61:10 says to be clothed with the garment of salvation. That's a wedding garment. Has to be a wedding garment. Look at the verse. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. That sure sounds like a wedding to me. Amen. The wedding. Much is made of the wedding of God to his people. Psalm 45 is symbolic there as well. And also I got this question. Do you have your wedding garment? Do you have your wedding garment that the Lord has provided for you? If above all else, if nothing else tonight, the parable we're looking at teaches us the necessity of something that can only be given to us by God. Only by God can we get what we need here, and it's this wedding garment. And I'm going to preach a little bit about that wedding garment, and I'll be brief. Amen. But just want to say this. First, notice this. Notice firstly that the servants are sent by the king. The servants are sent by the king. And see verse 8, Matthew chapter 22. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. I want you to realize this. The Bible says the servants were sent and all were gathered. all were gathered, as many as they found, both bad and good. Whoo, hallelujah. I get in on it here too. Amen. I get in on it here too. This shows us the complete efficaciousness of the blood of Jesus, of the sacrifice of Christ. The efficaciousness is not scary. It just means it's effective. It does the job. Amen. Completely, from the uttermost to the guttermost. And the Bible tells us that there's none righteous, no, not one. It tells us that all have sinned and come short of His glory, so everybody stands in need. Each and every one stands in need of the efficaciousness to save that Christ offers, because God commended His love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Me and my little brother, 6 year old or so, 5 and 6, you know, 6 and 7. We were 2 years apart 60 years ago, so it's hard to remember all this. But I do remember this, going off to play at the end of the block. We lived in the middle of the street, and you know, the corners were on either end of the block. And going down to the end of the block to play so we wouldn't get Mama involved in what we might be doing. Just brothers. And there was a neighbor down there at the end of the block. And in those days, now this is not today, this was 60 years ago. In those days, a neighbor, if boys were in mischief, as it was called, if the boys were in mischief, a neighbor could very easily say, I'm going to have to straighten you up, or you need to do right or go home, because that's what neighbors do. We every now and then to hear the neighbors say this, boys, good little boys go to heaven, and bad little boys go to hell. Now, that's not theology. That's not doctrine. That was what he said, because it was sort of like to cause us understanding that we could get in some serious, serious trouble here. That was his intent, and he kindly enough to tell us that, but I found out this since I've been saved and been seeing in the Word of God good little boys, if they don't have Jesus as our Lord and Savior, can die and go straight to hell. And bad little boys, if they have Jesus and the atonement of His precious blood, can go to heaven. Hallelujah. So hey, just to see that these servants are sent, and there is that efficaciousness there offered to save. And then the guests were seen by the king. Number two, guests were seen by the king. Verse 11. When the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. Should be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is showing us here. It's showing us in verse, let me go back to verse 11, I'm sorry. The guests are seen by the king in verse 11. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. He knows. The type of the Father here, this is omniscient, omnipotent. And he comes to the wedding to inspect, to be sure everything's just right. Number two, in verse 11. And he sees the man without the wedding garment. And you realize that weddings are important. Amen. Weddings are important. Ask any woman that's been a bride if weddings are not important. And so this man was there without the wedding garment. The father, or the king here, tossed him out. He wasn't tossed out because he was bad. He was tossed out because he didn't have on a wedding garment. If you could liken a dress code, I don't go to country clubs or too many political events where they have to have a black tie, or where there's a dress code involved in being seated or being allowed entrance into the venue. But let me just say, there are places like that. Sure, there are. That if you don't have that dress, the proper dress, or the dress that the club or the restaurant expects, then the service is denied. There's no seating available. A dress code. Even it's disturbing, I suppose, that someone had on the latest fashion and was then rejected or wasn't allowed to be seated. But still, the management would say, we can't let just everybody come. We have to have a special requirement. We can't let everybody come. So the dress code. The establishment has their own dress code. And even I remember as Trinity Rescue Mission staff personnel in 1986 when I first got saved at the rescue mission. Trinity Rescue Mission, Jacksonville, Florida, street mission. And yeah, the Lord saved me there. And the jobs that they have for people to do at the rescue mission, of course, from mopping floors to washing dishes and all the host of that type of a job, I finally worked my way up the ladder to a clothing room man. And clothing room man, let me just say, actually was a good job. The clothing room, we had a big commercial laundry. We had a washer and dryer that could wash all the sheets in one load, all the towels in one load, and all the dirty clothes in one load. After they were washed and dried, they'd fold them up, put them up into the laundry room, and be done for the day. So it was a good job. Amen. And I enjoyed the job. But we did have sometimes difficulties in the night, in the evening. The rescue mission there in Jacksonville on Bay Street was like any old mission, big city mission. But there was a requirement. If a person didn't change, if he didn't shower, he didn't stay. And that's a good requirement, because you can imagine if someone was on the streets for 3 weeks or 2 weeks and hadn't had a bath and hadn't changed clothes, it'd be good. It'd be good if they would, sure. So that was a requirement. What happened, we'd have the meal, and then as people left from after the meal and the chapel service, they went through the clothing room. I was there at the window of the door and passed out the clothes, and we sized everybody pretty well, I mean, best we could, with fresh and clean clothes, a shirt for a shirt, pants for pants, and so on. And so everyone, as he passed through, got a clean set of clothes. He goes to the shower, and he takes his shower, changes clothes into his fresh new clothes, and then the next day, he's clean, he's got the clean clothes. Well, we had trouble sometimes, because in that process, actually your clothes are not your own. So, you know, you turned your clothes in, you got some other clothes. And the next day you were going to have the same thing. And we had every now and then trouble when someone came in for the first time and he had a special pair of jeans or a special shirt and would say this. He said, "I'm not giving up my clothes. I won't do it. I'm not gonna put my clothes in that clothing bin." And the policy was no change, no shower, no stay. It just has to be that way. You don't have to stay here, but you're gonna have to change if you do. That was the requirement. This is the kingdom of God. This is a type here in this parable, and so. It's the Lord's business to require and expect a wedding garment. And we're wanting to realize that the guests were seen by the king. The man wasn't tossed out because he was bad. He was tossed out because he didn't have a wedding garment. And then this final point. The garments were supplied by the king. Only by putting on the Lord Jesus, his righteousness, will one be part of the bride at the wedding supper. Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 3. just back from Matthew there, a couple of books into the Old Testament in Zechariah in chapter 3 and verse 1. And there's a scene here with the Lord and Joshua. Of course, the devil's there. But verse 1, the Bible says, "He showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee." I'm glad God's on our side. "Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire?" Talking about Joshua there. "Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments, and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, Take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment." Only God can cause our iniquity to pass from us. Only He can do that, and that's through the precious blood of Jesus that's sacrificially shed on the cross of Calvary for you and I. And the scripture also shows here that there's no excuse, no excuses. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 12 says, "He saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. No excuses. Romans 3:19. "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God." The man can't say, I didn't know. The man can't say, I didn't think it mattered. The man can't say, there's no excuses. No excuses. No wedding garment. No wedding. Now this is hypothetical. If the man, and he can't be here, of course. And no one passes from hence to thence. He can't be with us tonight. But if he could be, to say if he could be, and he were here, and he could tell us how it happened as he was going down the highway that day, that he responded to the king's servant, he might say something like this. He might just tell us that he was minding his own business and wasn't bothering anybody going down the highway when the king's servant came. And he might tell us, well, the king's servant came up and he said, everybody, come on down to the king's son's wedding. And then some of us said, well, hey, what you going to do? What you going to have? And then the king's servant would say, plenty to eat, plenty to drink, just come on down. And people started coming. He might tell us that people actually started following him to the wedding. And then one of the king's servants said, here, put on the wedding garment. Put on this wedding garment. And our friend then would tell us maybe why he didn't. Maybe he would say, well, he didn't think it mattered. Or maybe he would say, well, I didn't really believe it. What I had wasn't good enough. Whatever he might have told us if he were here to say. And he would also maybe tell us this, that lots of people were going there. Everybody from off the highways was headed to the king's son's wedding, so I just fell in with the crowd. And as I went and I was there, got into the wedding and enjoying those fine hors d'oeuvres and drinking that good wine while I was there at the wedding, that's when the king came in. And that's when the king saw me. And that's when the king said, friend, why is thou not on a wedding garment? And then he would tell us, most likely he would tell us, that when the king called him friend, he had tears in his eyes. And he might even have told us that his son, his only begotten son, paid for that wedding garment that I rejected on the cross of Calvary. I'm just saying it's hypothetical here, but whatever that reasoning might have been that he rejected that wedding garment, he didn't stay at the wedding. He was cast out without excuse. But if he were here, he might even say this, if I only knew then what I know now from where he actually had been sent. No wedding garment, no wedding. You could take a look, if you will, in Revelation chapter 19, and we're looking into the future, and we're seeing something that's going to happen. Seeing something that's going to happen. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 7. And here it says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of a lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, white and clean, hallelujah, that for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of a lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. I'm telling you that this is coming, and it's coming soon. There'll be a time. Of course, there's going to be the millennial reign. There's going to be a lot going on. But I want you to realize, please know this, that the future for Christianity is exciting. Truly exciting when the Lord calls his church in the rapture, and then there's the wedding supper and the ceremonies for awards there in heaven, and then when his church returns to this earth to establish that millennial reign, hallelujah. I'm so tempted to go into some white horse preaching for you tonight, but I just want you to realize, please know, amen, that if you're in Jesus, if you have Christ tonight, that you are in for some exciting times ahead. And I'll close with this. I'll close with this. Much is made with the wedding of God to his people. And once more, do you have your wedding garment? Do you have your wedding garment that you received when you trusted the Lord as your Savior? Washed in his blood. And then let's just look at this too. If you have your wedding garment, if you have your wedding garment, could it be spotted? Could it be spotted? Because we're living in a world where it's going to be hard not to see more than you ought to see. It's going to be hard not to even actually, as a Christian, even to say more than you ought to say. It's going to be hard, even as a Christian, to not do more than you ought to do. That's for all of us. That's for me. That's for you. I mean, this is a world in which all of this is around us, and we're still walking around in flesh bodies. And we have our wedding garments that the Lord has provided. He has given us. And the Scripture says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it, the church, that's us, hallelujah, to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. If your garment could be spotted, if it could be spotted, it needs to be cleansed. It needs to be taken. And not to the cleaners. Tide won't do it. Clorox won't do it. Only the precious blood of Jesus will do it. If we walk in the light as he is in light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. Hallelujah for that promise. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If your garment could be spotted, you need to get that cleansed with the blood of Jesus. Just go ahead and tell him what it is. Tell him what the need is. He's there for you. He's right there for you at any time. Dear Lord Jesus, we want to thank you We want to thank you, Lord, for this wedding supper that we can look forward to as believers that's coming soon. Thank you for the parable that we see a type of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that you do provide that wedding garment for us. And I ask, Lord, that you'd bless God's people here at Sumter Bible Church. And Lord Jesus, I pray that you would have your sweet will and way in every heart and every life. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be worthy vessels when you come. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be presented before you as a glorious church. And we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.